Hey guys, and welcome back to my YouTube channel for another live session that I have just finished on the Discord. You are about to hear some real life Q&As. So people who have issues around family law, making applications to the court, perhaps representing themselves in court, or maybe they're just not receiving their child maintenance from their ex and want to know what to do about it. So if you think that might assist you, then enjoy this video. With another hour of family law questions and hopefully some good answers. We are also live on Instagram, so welcome to those of you joining me on Instagram, and we're also welcome, hello Marcy1966, and we're also live on the TikTok channel as well. So for those of you that aren't familiar with what I'm doing, my name is Tracy, aka The Legal Queen on social media, and I will jump on twice a week, Wednesday and Fridays at 12:30 to 1:30 to answer some of your family law questions. So I specialize in family law. And if you want to ask me a question live, you can know that you come into the Discord channel. So you would download the app, create yourself a profile, come into the Legal Queen Lounge and pop your hand up. I can already see a couple of hands up already in the audience. Captain, you are first in the queue this afternoon. So whenever you're ready, how is it I can help? Hey, Captain.
Good afternoon, Tracy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. How can I help?
So I've had a quick question that's literally just come in saying, can a McKenzie friend serve witness statements to the respondent?
Can a McKenzie friend? No. So the whole purpose of a McKenzie friend, unless they're a professional McKenzie friend, is that they will simply assist you in court. So they are there to take notes for you, to be a support, a bit of an emotional support. They're not allowed to talk, and they certainly wouldn't be getting involved with serving documents. Now, I say that to the typical McKenzie friend. However, we do have what we call professional McKenzie friends who are part qualified and actually hold themselves out as being advocates.
So this question has just come back to me saying that they are a professional McKenzie friend.
Well, then they can serve the other side with documents, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Another one about children here, Tracy. Is it expected that parents facilitate the children's extracurricular activities that they attended prior to the marriage ending?
Is it expected? I think when parents separate, you're going to continue the routine as much as you possibly can. Nothing's expected, really. It's down to the parents. It's the parents that have parental responsibility. So it's them that makes the decisions. If parents can't afford to continue with extracurricular, or perhaps they've had to move and can't get the child there, that's fine. They won't be penalised for that.
No. Okay. That's all I've got for now, Trace.
Lovely. Thanks, Captain. So for those of you that are wondering, so Captain and my other friend, Mart, will routinely ask questions on behalf of other people. So not everybody wants to come on to the Discord lounge and actually ask the questions for themselves for a variety of reasons. Sometimes the ex is also in the lounge or watching on TikTok and Instagram, or sometimes they're just a little bit shy. So if you have a question and perhaps you can't get into Discord, or you don't want to ask your question and be recorded, because obviously these go out on my podcast, then know that Captain or Mart, who isn't about at the moment but might pop in shortly, will help you. Paige, you are next up with your hand how is it I can help, Paige?
Hello. So I have a question. Yeah. Family child matter related.
Yeah.
So I went to court 2 years ago. We have an order in place. The child lives with me. However, what can I do if the other parent is not sticking to the order and hasn't done from day one?
In what way, Paige? What are they doing, not doing, that they should be doing?
So it's just more complying with the order, with the arranged days. I know I can't obviously force him to have the child. So, for example, like the holidays, it's meant to be 50-50.
Yeah.
What happens if, you know, within 24 hours notice, I'll get a text to say not having the child? Obviously, I've got work commitments, other commitments, but it seems to be, you know, I have to make the child available, but in return, they want to drop out. It's just very, you know, very difficult and very frustrating when, you know, life commitments.
Yeah, it really is, Paige. And unfortunately, the answer that I'm going to give you is that there isn't too much you can do. I mean, that is probably the biggest, shall we say, burden to bear that the resident parent has. The contact parent is just able to up and say, no, I can't do it. Yes, I can do it. And the poor resident parent has to then try to pick up the pieces. Sometimes in the past...
My child absolutely loves... Sorry, I didn't hear you.
That's all right. I was going to say, Paige, is that sometimes in the past what I've done is I've included a clause into the child arrangements order that says if the other parent lets down, you know, within sort of 48 hours of having to have the child and additional childcare costs are incurred, then the other parent will be liable for those costs, something like that. Do you know what I mean? But as you say, we can't force that parent to have contact, unfortunately, and it does get tricky.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the battle of child maintenance. It's been 4 years now. He's not paying a single penny, but obviously I know that's not really involved with the court, so that's a separate issue.
Does he not have Paige any other support network? Does he have like parents or a partner that could help out in the way that I'm sure you do? You know, when he's meant to have the children and he can't for whatever reason, does he not have a support network he can call upon?
Not really, no. Yeah, there's one grandparent in the background, but obviously he works. He did have a partner, but I think they've recently broken up.
Yeah.
Which brings me on to my next question, actually. So my child is craving the attention from his father and he desperately wants to go. So when he cancels last minute and, you know, if by the court order, he's meant to phone him twice a week, meant to have every other weekend and then 50-50s on the holidays.
Yeah.
But at the moment, he stopped the phone calls months ago. It does tend to come every other weekend, but the holidays he's stopped now. So my child wants to go, but I have concerns about his welfare with the living situation, the state he comes home with. Yeah. Medically, I've had concerns.
Yeah.
And it comes from a domestic abuse relationship. This has been ongoing for 10 years. My child's nearly 11 now. It's been ongoing for 10 years. I've tried to get help in every, you know, every direction.
Yeah.
Police, what they call social services. But it just seems to be the system has failed us completely. Apart from the domestic abuse organisations, they're brilliant.
So
I mean, all concerns when I say when he goes there, he's not in an appropriate accommodation.
Yeah. All I would say, Paige, is that in that instance, know that you obviously have parental responsibility and that you are the main carer of the child. And if you feel that the child's welfare is compromised or you have genuine safety concerns, know that you can do something about that. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute or encouraging you to stop contact, but know that that's an option available to you. You know, because you are the one then that is left picking up the pieces. And clearly the co-parenting here has broken down. So don't feel that because an order is in place that actually you have to comply with that at the cost of the child's welfare. Do you know? And I'm sure that you're not, but where you even have the smallest of concerns, just know that you are empowered to do something about that by virtue of the fact that you are the child's main carer.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely. I mean, I don't want to stop a relationship. It's not my intention. It just seems, because when we went to courts, it wasn't because we had contact arrangements issue.
Yeah.
We were both happy with every other weekend and flexibility.
Yeah.
But as soon as it went to court, it was made out to be that. And I said, no, we just want the abuse to stop happening, our child to stop witnessing what happens, and I want safety measures put in place. And they asked me to do a domestic abuse statement. And when it comes to court, it didn't even get mentioned. It all got disregarded. And I felt like just another person on the conveyor belt.
Oh, dear.
And then when I slipped out to I think it was because of COVID, I sort of feel it may have been, you know how times are hard back then.
Yeah.
I just sometimes feel like it was brushed under the carpet.
Yeah.
And when I spoke to a solicitor recently, just to get some advice,
yeah,
they strongly advised me not to go any further, because it's more that the courts are taking children away from their mothers.
Oh, Paige, please. No. Don't be intimidated by that at all. I mean, that clearly isn't what's going on here. You know, there's a massive difference between a mother that has concerns about the welfare of her child and a father that perhaps isn't stepping up to the plate as much as he should be, and a mother that alienates. Mm-hmm. Very, very different. Very different. I mean, I've ran enough alienation cases to know that you are, based on what you've told me, that it doesn't apply to you in this case. You know, alienation is where the father isn't seeing the child completely. So, but what I was going to add, Paige, listening to you, that I'm sensing that there's a lot of trauma since you've actually been to court, and obviously it was very difficult when we were trying to run cases through COVID. So it may be that rather than having the court system help you or you know, vary the order or whatever, that you maybe seek some counselling there. It is very traumatic, court, and I say that not just for your benefit, Paige, but for others that may be listening. It's really tough. It's really tough going through it all. And now you're trying to comply with an order that you didn't decide on. That order, the court did. Do you know what I mean? So bear that in mind is all I would say.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, the child loves going there. He really does. I just want, you know, a safe environment. He's coming home. He's had head concussions I've not been made aware of.
Yeah.
He's wearing the same clothes for 7 days in a row. He doesn't wash around there. He's so dirty when he comes home. It's all these little things, and I just, as a parent, you know, it's very hard.
It is hard. On that point, Paige, what I would say is try to let that go. If it's just that he's a bit dirty, parents differ differently, don't they? You know what I mean? So we don't all have the same standard. Things like that, I would probably just, it's a bit of a, you know, it's difficult, but I wouldn't possibly stop contact for that. But if the child isn't being kept warm or being allowed out in the sun without sunscreen or not being fed properly, being left with strangers, that's more of a welfare concern. I get it's annoying that the child's being returned to you dirty, but sometimes we just have to sort of go with that at times. All right.
Yeah, cool. You know, things like that go. I think it's just when it's like been a full week and he's still wearing the same underwear, and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, when, where's the line? Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. All right. Well, I hope that's helped, Paige. Okay.
Yeah, lovely.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Hi.
Little Spotty Cat, thank you for waiting there. What's your question?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, my question is in relation to order recitals.
Yeah.
I have two child care arrangement orders, and the first was following a resolution appointment following a finding of fact or a fact-finding hearing. And then I have another order, which is following a final hearing. What I've got a situation is that my children's other parent, they're referring to recitals on a previous order to deliver the children to him and provide with clothes, but they were recitals that related to overnight contact commencing forthwith following a fact-finding hearing and resolution appointment.
Yeah.
And now I have a more complete lived with order. I have majority care.
Yeah.
He's referring to the recitals on the previous order, and my question is, can he refer to the recitals on the previous order in terms of delivering the children to him and the providing clothes for overnight contact?
So your last order will trump, okay? So the last order is the one that everybody is sticking to. So the answer to your question is no, not really. If those recitals were meant to be included in the final order, they would have been. They were recitals included at the time to assist the issue at the time. No is the answer to your question.
Perfect. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Captain, did you have a question for me?
I did, yeah.
Yeah? What's
I've got a couple. Just tell me when you want me to stop.
Okay,
So one person said, how can I keep my properties and assets away from a cohabiting partner? We're not married.
How can I keep my property away? Well, the other side won't have your property because you're not married. So they won't automatically have any entitlement to your house or to your savings or to anything else that's in your name. The thing to do is not to mingle finances. The minute you have a joint bank account, then whatever is in that joint bank account belongs to both of you. So if somebody then withdrew every penny from it, they haven't broken the law. You don't want to allow them perhaps to contribute directly to the mortgage, so they can make a contribution to you by way of rent for staying there, but they shouldn't be seen to be paying directly to the mortgage. But apart from that, it's very hard for an ex to make a claim to the property, unless, of course, they've made a significant financial contribution. So I think that, you know, it's marriage, that's the key. Once you become married, things are then automatically owned by the other side.
Okay, thanks. So do you remember me asking about extracurricular activities earlier?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this person's given me a bit more info about what they meant, saying extracurricular activities, if one parent refuses by means of blackmail, that they will only facilitate if the child stays with the other parent more nights. For example, as that hobby has now fallen on the child's time with them due to timetable changes, what can be done? As ultimately it impacts the child because it's a child's hobby.
It
and
does.
Child's saying they want to go and the other parent says, I'll only take you if you stay with me more nights.
Yeah, it's really difficult, isn't it? If you have a contact arrangement and you are both parents are sticking to that, when the child is in parents A care, then parent A makes all the decisions. And when the child is in parent B's care, parent B makes all the decisions. So if this extra curriculum is falling on an evening where they're with the parent that doesn't want to take them, there isn't anything you can do, really. It's down to that parent to make the decisions. It's a shame, but it's one of those.
I'll leave it there for now because you've got a few hands up in
okay.
the audience, Tracy.
Thank you, Captain. Andy, you are up next. Whenever you're ready, ask me your question. You're on mute. There we
Hi
go.
There.
Hi,
Thank
Andy.
Thank you for accepting my call.
Pleasure. How can I help?
My question is about spousal maintenance. When my divorce was finalised, a spousal maintenance order was put forward from my wife, ex-wife.
Yeah.
And I have had to pay her a considerable amount of money every month for the last 11 years. The spousal, she claimed she needed that money because she was used to a standard of living that she couldn't achieve by herself with her own wages.
Yeah.
And she also said that because we have two children, she's not been able to retrain or build her career because, I was the main breadwinner. And I never allowed her to do that. So she was awarded spousal maintenance. I found out recently that she's paid off her house completely. And I'm poorer than her now because I don't earn as much as I used to earn. I haven't done for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But I'm still having to pay spousal maintenance. I wanted to know if I could claim against her to kind of balance out our mortgages again, because she's got no mortgage and I've got a massive mortgage. And I'm not even able to afford to live in my own home at the moment.
So the answer to that, sadly, Andy, is no. I mean, obviously, at the time the court awarded your wife spousal maintenance, they would have tested the evidence. They would have looked at what she had coming in and looked at what she had going out and felt it appropriate to award her a period or an amount per month for a period of time. So you're not, because effectively what you're saying is you want to appeal that order. By appealing the order,
yeah.
You then and it's too late to do that now. So you wouldn't succeed on that appeal, no.
Even though she lied and said that it was for haircuts and holidays and things, and she hasn't done any of those things.
Well,
she's just paid off her mortgage with my money.
Yeah, so the court allow for a basic standard of care when they're looking at spousal maintenance, and that would include haircuts and holidays and all the rest of it. If she's then decided that actually she wants to be more frugal and not go on holidays, etc., then that's her right to do so. But the court will allow for those basic costs when they're deciding spousal maintenance.
Crikey. So I've literally lost out on 10 years of money and that there's nothing I can do about it.
I suppose there's comfort to be had if she's raised your children potentially, because they would have benefited from it. Oh, okay.
She hasn't raised them properly at all because they don't go to clubs. They don't. She has never picked them up and dropped them off from me. I've always run around to pick them up and drop them off from me. They still get asked. They get £5. They're like 17 and 18 now. They get £5 a week pocket money.
Yeah.
For years they've had that. I'm still buying lots of stuff for them. Because their mum just keeps saying no. That hasn't changed.
Okay.
You know, my 7-year-old son asked her for haircut money the other day and she said, get a job. I'm not giving you any money. And I just think that's ridiculous.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I mean, legally, Andy, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I suppose morally that there's lots you and I could chat for the next hour about this and obviously the court system itself. But legally, which is the purpose of what we're doing here, I'm really sorry I can't take it any further. But okay, thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Perfect example of that, guys. It can sometimes you know, go against us, court orders, and you know, a lot of people might argue, hearing Andy there, that we don't have justice within the family court. A lot of times it's six of one and half dozen of another. Nana, you are up. How are you? You and I have spoken a few times before. How can I help?
Tracy,
hello. I'm good, thank you. What's going on?
I think we last spoke about having the financial order in place. Mm-hmm. And it's all signed and sealed now by the judge.
Oh, good. That's
so
good.
Yeah, that's good. However, because it's been 6 weeks and obviously I'm applicant of the divorce, so I go on to do the final order.
Yeah.
However, he's not playing ball and he said, no, he's not, you know, he doesn't want to go through with it now and... You know, he's just messing me around again because it's been 2 years.
But Nana,
this whole divorce.
But if the order's been made by the court, he doesn't have that option anymore.
So, yeah, so my question is, when I apply for the final order, does he need to, like, approve it, sign it, or...
So you haven't applied for it yet? The court haven't actually stamped it? Okay.
I've just got the decree nisi and the financial order in place, but I'm on the last stage now. So my question is, does he need to approve it, sign it? Like if my solicitor
sends
it over to him?
Nana, let me ask you a couple of questions. And if I can be so bold as you just answer me yes or no, because I'm getting a little bit confused. So you've started the divorce, yes?
Yes, 2 years ago.
You've got the conditional order, yes?
Yes.
Have you both signed the financial order?
Yes, and it's been approved by the judge.
So it has been sealed. So the last step in your process is to make application for your final order, yes?
Yes.
Okay, well then there's nothing he can do to stop you making that application and the financial order has already been made. You can make your final order application for the divorce. Once you have got that, your financial order then comes into being, for want of a better word. All right? And then if he does...
So without the final order, the financial consent order is not in place?
No. If you read the financial order, what it will say is... with effect from the pronouncement of the final order or the decree absolute, depending on if you're on the old system. But with effect from. So the financial order is made. And then the minute we have our final order in divorce, the financial order kicks in. All right. And then if he doesn't comply with it, he's in breach. Does that help?
Okay. So does he need to sign anything?
No, not the final order. If you're the petitioner, then no, he doesn't need to do that. All right?
Okay.
Lovely.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Nana. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Muzz, you are up next. How can I help?
Yeah, hi there. I just have two questions.
Yeah.
So in regard to the cohabitation agreement, so let's say, because I own like two properties outright, I'm not married yet, but... I'm looking to maybe not legally get married, so maybe let's say a girlfriend in future. And if I was to live in that house, let's say, could she make a claim in future if I have children under the condition? Because I've heard that she could still claim, even if you're not legally married, if you have children. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, no, and that's absolutely right, Muz. So I did a video on this. I think it might have gone out last week. So yes, where you are not married, she wouldn't automatically have a right to claim against any of your assets. But where you're not married and then have children together, she can.
Yeah.
And the application is made on behalf of the children, and it's for financial help to house the children, feed the children, clothe the children, and it goes beyond child maintenance, okay? So the answer is yes, she can. But it would only be on behalf of your children, not for her.
Right. Would she, let's say when the children are like 18, would she have to return the house or would she keep the
house? Yeah. So a perfect example is I did a Schedule 1 application. I was for dad, and the court ordered that we provide mum and the two children with a property, which my client was in a position to be able to sort of buy and pay the mortgage on. But when the youngest child was 18, mother had to move out. So that the house remained in my client's name. He could then go on and rent it out to who he wanted to, but she had to go. Yeah, because it was to house the children until they were 18.
Right, okay. And just one final question, just a quick question there. So let's say the cohabitation agreement.
Yeah.
And is that valid even after like 10 years, 15 years, or does it like expire ever?
Yeah, no. Well, it's not that it expires. It will continue for as long as it's in place. But exceptional circumstances along the way need to be factored in. So the best example that I can give clients is you enter into a cohab agreement and 5 years later, the couple have a child. That's an exceptional circumstance. What I then say is revisit that agreement. You know, pull it out the drawer and have a look at, okay, if this agreement were to go before the court now, would the court still think this is fair and reasonable? And it may be that it needs tweaking. Okay, so just be aware that if there's been exceptional change in circumstances, the other side might argue this agreement, this document is no longer valid because so much has happened since it was made. Do you see what I mean?
Right. And does it not matter in regards to when I had them properties, even if it was before I met, let's say, my girlfriend, years before?
Well, she's got no claim to the properties, Muz. So don't worry about that. She's got no claim to them unless you marry her. She's got no claim to them. Right. And then if you marry her, we can still try to ring fence them in the event of a divorce if they're not needed.
Makes sense. That's everything. Thank you.
Lovely.
Very much.
Okay.
That.
Thanks, Muz. Bye. Mercedes, I saw that you had your hand up, but you have dropped back into the audience, which is fine. If you do need to come back up, by all means do so. There are no hands up at the moment. So for those of you on the TikTok or the Instagram and you're looking to ask me a question, then now's the perfect time to jump over to Discord. I'll take a couple of questions from TikTok, only because they're asking more questions in the Instagram at the moment. If my partner moves into my home but is not put on the mortgage, would he have a claim to my house? No, he wouldn't, SAS, unless he makes a significant financial contribution. So if, let's say, he paid for new windows, anything that would increase the price of the property, he might pay for central heating or a new driveway or an extension, then he could claim that he has an interest in your property. But if they're just helping with the bills and giving you something towards their keep, then no. If the house in your name, he'll have no claim to it. Cindy, I've invited you up onto the stage to ask me a question whenever you're ready. There we go. How can I help?
Hi, just Hello. Wanted to ask about the, I heard somebody ask about the change of name, and you always say before that if the judge thinks it's something that would be of best interest of the child, could you give an example like of an argument that the mother could say to court that why does the child need a double barrel name?
Yeah, so usually the most frequent example is where, let's say, mother remarries. And she goes on to have more children with her new husband. So we have one child, the eldest child, let's say, with the previous partner's name, and then her more recent children with her new husband's name. And she says to the court, I just want my eldest child, who is not from this marriage, to feel part of the family. So that's one example. Another example is where, you know, mother has her maiden name and the child has father's name and father simply isn't in the picture. you know, and women will say to me, the child hasn't seen the father for 10 years. Would I have good prospects of success? Absolutely. You know, because actually the mother wants the child then known as her name and he's having no relationship with the father at all. So there's a couple of examples where you've got a strong case.
I have another question in relation with the guy that you were speaking to earlier. You said that there's like a maintenance that like the father could give to the mom if she's housing the children.
Yeah.
Now, for example, the father, like I've put a claim in CMS and they couldn't get a hold of his income because he is on job seeker's allowance.
Yeah.
I know he's working for cash. Is there a way that through the family court that I could apply for him to give a specific amount of money to be able to give to the child?
Yeah. So it's the same application that I was talking about with that gentleman before. It's a Schedule 1 application. It's an application on behalf of getting some extra finances to help you look after his children. However, if he is earning cash and he's in receipt of benefits, then you may struggle to have him provide evidence that he can afford to give you anything. So that's where then you need to take the legal advice to look at the strength of your case. So the remedy is the easy part. You know, telling people what the remedy is, what application to make is the easy bit. Where I'm always saying to people, get that 1 hour of advice, is because it's during the consultation, we can then tell you how successful your case is going to be. And that requires a little bit more digging into your circumstances and his circumstances.
Okay. All right. If we wanted to do that with you, do we just go onto your website and we can?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know you said you're full, but you've got
trainings. Yeah, absolutely. We've got trainees, and there's another solicitor, Catherine, who works at my firm. But yeah, you can DM me on Instagram. You can send me an email. You can go onto the website. All our email addresses are on there. The team's on there. Absolutely. Yeah. No problem at all.
Okay, thank you so much, Tracy. You're
pleasure.
Such a big help to everybody.
Thank you, Cindy. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Gabrielle, you are next up whenever you're ready. Just while I'm waiting for Gabrielle, actually, there's a quick question I just saw at the corner of my eye. Somebody wants to know the difference between a D81 and a Form E. So a Form E is the form that you fill out when you're making a financial application to the court. Okay, a D81 is where you have remedied how those assets are going to be divided, and you're sending in your consent order to the court. So two very, very different forms. Gabrielle, how is it I can help?
Hiya, I'm not sure if you can hear me. Is it all
I
working?
Can. Yeah, I can hear you.
So I know that one of your old sort of admin helpers, Martin, he put my sort of situation to you quite a few months ago.
Okay.
And it's quite a complex case. However, I'm just going to try and summarise it as best I can.
Okay.
So I'm Australian. I moved here when I was 18. I got into a relationship that included quite a lot of grooming and domestic abuse, CCB. My daughter and I fled in December 2022, and then in January, my ex-partner started proceedings against me to attain full custody of my daughter. I've never been an unfit mother, anything like that, but we're now in a situation where a homicide risk assessment came down from the NHS saying that we were in danger of our lives and advised us to break the child arrangement order and flee and find refuge. We went back to court on Wednesday. The judge actually threw the risk assessment out and has awarded unsupervised contact. I've never tried to avoid contact between the two of them. I've always advocated it for it to be supervised so that it's safe due to the severe DA that we experienced. Obviously now I'm quite terrified for my daughter and I'm not allowed to do a thing. But because I'm an Australian, I'm on an Australian visa, I can't get recourse. I also can't get into any refuges in this country because of my immigration status. Is there anything that you could suggest that I would be able to do in this situation, given that there is a homicide risk assessment?
Okay, so the first thing I would say is that the court wasn't convinced, Gabrielle, by the evidence that was put before it in order for it to award unsupervised contact. Okay, so the fact that we have a potential homicide risk, I don't know if we have any criminal evidence that we could rely upon there. potentially?
There's been okay. 11 crime reference numbers.
Okay.
Because a lot of this abuse has been going through the family court, the police can't intervene.
Well, if there's a homicide risk, that the criminal side of things can do what they want. They are not beholden to the family court.
But the police's advice was that he hadn't made an attempt on our lives yet, and so they were unable to do anything.
Okay. And what about things like non-molestation orders and restraining orders? I mean, there'll be a walk in the park for you if you have the evidence.
Not. Because the majority, there was one episode of physical violence where there was non-fatal strangulation. However, because the majority of the relationship was severe CCB and DV, and it was mostly emotional, verbal, all of that, they said that it didn't warrant a non-molestation order. And
yeah.
Because I co-own a property with him, unless I represent myself for that, obviously they've said it's going to cost me £26,000 to actually go through with the application to court for a non-mol.
Okay, so it all comes down to the evidence then. As I said, I think at the start, that there just isn't sufficient evidence to be able to warrant. I mean, the threshold for a non-molestation order, Gabrielle, is pretty low, if I'm being honest with you. So if you haven't been able to get a non-molestation order, that would answer the question as to why the court won't order supervised contact. Now, what I would suggest, however, is that the threat continues and, you know, you still feel unsafe and that shouldn't be dismissed. Probably not something
unfortunately, because we've had CAFCAS involvement, they're now accusing me of alienation when I haven't alienated whatsoever. We've made application for us to be able to be returned home to Australia where we can actually not be in fear of our lives and have abuse. But because we obviously fled and followed the NHS's advice, I'm now completely destitute and homeless, and we've been living in a travel lodge for 19 weeks being put up by social services. So I'm at my wit's end. I don't know
sure.
what to do.
Do you have legal representation at the moment? Because
I'm unable to afford it and I can't get legal aid.
Okay. Why can't you get legal aid? Because there's domestic violence here. Have you called the Correct. Civil Legal Advice Line?
I have, yes, and they've said that they can't help me because I'm not British, I'm not in receipt of benefits, and I can't, yeah, I've been declined at absolutely every turn.
Okay, that it's not adding up to me, Gabrielle, I'm going to be completely honest with you, it's just not adding up to me. And again, I don't really want to ask you too much question, we're on a public forum, obviously this is going to all recorded and put on the YouTube channel. If you want to drop me an email privately, absolutely I'll try to help you, but I'm either missing something or you're not telling me everything, but something's not adding up because...
That's fine. I can do an email. That's not a problem.
Okay, lovely. All right, then. Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you, Gabrielle, for sharing that. I appreciate that. Okay, bye-bye. Never feel, guys, that if you are in a situation like that, that there is no help at all. I mean, by the sounds of it, Gabrielle has gone down a couple of dead ends. There will always be an escape route. Always. Trust me on that. So hopefully Gabrielle reaches out to me and we can give her and her child some support. But for the rest of you out there that might feel that you're in the same situation and that everywhere you go, you're receiving a no or a closed door, know that there will always be something that we can do. Michelle, take yourself off mute when you're ready. How can I help?
Hi, Tracy. Yeah,
hello.
Thank you. So I've got a couple of questions. We've got a live with order for my two children.
Yeah.
There's also an order in place to state that the father can't see them unsupervised.
Yes.
Kids were seeing him about every 2 weeks. However, since April, that's kind of dropped off and they don't really see him at all anymore.
Yeah.
My question really is, back in April, he stopped paying child maintenance. He's also told them that he's now not earning anything, but we know he is. He's earning cash and we have evidence of that.
Yeah.
I did see on your social media, I think Instagram a couple of weeks ago, that there is an application I can make to the court that they'll look into that.
Yeah.
So
we've spoken about it a couple of times in this hour, Michelle, and it's a really good question. So what I'm referring to on that video is what we call a Schedule 1 application. So it's where you make an application to the family court for some financial help to look after his children for him. Okay, that's the remedy. Okay. The obviously what you need to give some thought to is, will your application be successful if you make it? In other words, are you able to get good evidence, or can he produce, for example, payslips? You know, will his bank statement show that he has regular money coming in? Because if the answer to that is yes, then it's definitely something you should take some advice on, making the application. Yeah. If the answer to that is no, and the first example that comes to mind is where sometimes, you know, the guys are working for cash, you know, they're claiming benefits and getting paid in cash, and their bank statements, all the bank statements will show is regular payments from Universal Credits or whatever it might be. Okay. So be confident, or be sure, sorry, not confident, but be sure that he'll be able to show that to the court. Without that information, the court can't make the order.
Okay, is that something I can just apply for online? How does it happen?
You can apply for it. You would download the C1 form. Take a look at the C1. I think that's the form that you're going to use. But as I say, you might be worth taking some advice first of all, unless you know that he's on a regular paying job.
We do, yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, we also have another issue where he has multiple children with other women.
Yeah.
And he does live with the one that he's currently with, they're engaged, they've just had a third baby.
Yeah.
But he's telling child maintenance that he's no longer with them, so that he then has to pay maintenance to her, even though he's actually living with them. So that's the other issue. We've got, again, we've got evidence of that, that they're actually all living together and they're not separated. My other question was, he's stopped paying maintenance since April, he hasn't paid anything. He lives about an hour away. I can't afford to drive the kids to go and see him. It's supposed to be him coming up to our area once every 2 weeks, and myself going down there with the kids every 2 weeks. That's in the order. My concern now is, am I going to be seen to be breaking the order because I can't physically afford to take the kids to go and see him?
Technically, it's a breach. I won't lie to you. It is a breach. Is it a breach that will carry consequences? Not really, because if you physically can't afford to put petrol in the car or pay for public transport, the court aren't going to prosecute you for that. Do you know what I mean? So it is a breach, but, you know, you can only do so much. And if you're willing to take them down with perhaps some financial help from him, put that in an email so that you can refer to that if he does take you back to court for whatever reason.
Okay. All right. I mean, in that time, he's not made no effort to come and see them either. So it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
There's been loads of times he hasn't kept up with his end of the order.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make sure that.
No, you'll be fine, Michelle. You'll be fine.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Bye. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Melia, you are up next whenever you're ready. What's your question?
Hi there. Can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Hello. Just a quick one. I believe it's quite a straightforward one. I have been divorced for quite a few number of years now, but didn't realise I should have got a clean break order at the time of the divorce.
Yeah.
Now I am just wondering if I can apply for a clean break order without disclosing any of my assets to my ex, because my assets have grown over the years and I just don't want him to know kind of where I am at the moment in terms of my assets.
Okay. So you will have to make limited disclosure by way of what we call a D81. But let me start first of all, Amelia, has he remarried?
No.
No, okay, that's fine. If you'd have said yes to me, then I would have said you don't need a clean break order, because by the virtue of him remarrying, he's actually barred himself from making the application.
Okay.
So to go back to your original question, yes, there is a little bit of disclosure. You would have to put a figure down for your annual income, a figure down for what your pension is worth, a figure down for what your debts are, and a figure as to what your assets are. Perhaps you've got equity in a property. So just those four figures have to be put on the D81. And he has to do the same.
Mm-hmm. And if I have more assets than him, can he then make a claim on those, though we're divorced?
It depends if he needs them. So he's going to have a weaker case because you are already divorced. And so I assume since the divorce, all of his needs are being met, his housing needs, his income needs, etc. So he'd probably have a weaker case, but things like pension, former matrimonial home, could still be at risk if you were to, you know, bring it to his attention.
Mm.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for that.
Pleasure. Thank you, Amelia. All bye-bye. Right.
Thanks. Bye.
Dan, you are up next whenever you're ready. And there we go. How can I help, Dan?
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure.
A quick question. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
Yeah, just a quick question. Basically, I got an order last year, an interim order last year, and I was meant to write a report and like an addendum or something like that.
Yes.
Placements. Due to an error from my side, I totally mixed up what was said in this report. I was actually meant to have submitted that last December. But I just read the report. I just went back through the report yesterday, and I realized I should have submitted that report since December, but I haven't. Am I going to be penalized by sending it in now?
Sorry, Dan, is this a children's case?
Yes, it is. It's a child. We have our final hearing coming up in September.
Yeah. You've got to submit
on that statement.
Yeah.
2 weeks before the final hearing as well.
Okay, so the addendum report, sorry, what was the question around that? Who is the CAFCAS doing the addendum report?
I'm meant to write an addendum report. Statement.
Well, I missed
the deadline in December.
Okay. I shouldn't worry because it's already happened. We are where we are. You just need to make sure that you get your statement in 2 weeks before that final hearing. Okay, because, you know, whilst you have missed the deadline, it impacts your case, not the other side's, because you don't have that evidence to rely upon. So whatever you were going to put into the statement in December, make sure you include it in the next statement, okay?
So I can't, even though I missed the deadline, I can't send the statement now.
Well,
I'm just apologize or something.
Yeah, but only send in one statement, Dan. Don't send in two, because you'll have permission to file a statement for that final hearing.
Okay.
Okay? But yes, okay. Do it is what I'm saying. Definitely do it, but just send in the one.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Lovely.
I'll call back next week to say more about the case so I can get advice.
Okay, no problem. Thank you, Dan.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye. Lynn, you are next up. How can I help?
Perfect, great. You actually answered, probably most of the question earlier. I think Muz answered the call.
Okay.
So it was about the cohabitation and whether a partner could make a financial order against you. Does that still also, if I have a couple of assets, like a couple of properties, bank accounts of cash, they're all in my name.
Yeah.
And say in future, we have children, but the relationship breaks down and I ask him to leave. We have children and I have parental responsibility. Can he still make a financial order if he doesn't have parental responsibility and all other assets in my name?
So no, Lynn, where this financial application works is it's to help the person who has the responsibility for housing the children. So if
he doesn't have responsibility for housing the children,
correct.
I can't make a claim application.
That's right.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, because effectively, let's say that the relationship broke down and the children continued to live with you, then he can't then make a financial claim against you for himself because you're not married. So it would only be on behalf of the children. But if the children are living with you, then he can't make that claim. That's right.
Perfect. Even though he was living with me in my house that I purchased before our relationship
wouldn't matter. You're not married, so he has no claim to your assets. He could only make a financial claim if you had children and then the children lived with him.
What if the children live with him half the time in future? Say it's 50-50.
Well, responsibility. I'm not so sure that he would succeed there either, because then you have to share the financial responsibility. This Schedule 1 application that I've been talking about a lot today is for the main carer of the children, where they actually have to provide a house for them and, you know, have got increased bills because of the children. So where you're doing it 50-50, you've got equal responsibility. So I'm not so sure that his application would succeed.
Okay, that's reassuring. Thank you so much. All right,
pleasure. Really reassuring. Thank you, Lynn. Bye-bye. Holly, let me come to you whenever you're ready. Hi, Holly, what's your question?
Oh, hi there. Can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Brilliant. So I've just got a question. So myself and my ex owned a property. I've got a declaration of trust, so 75% of it's mine, 25% of it's his.
Yeah.
We're never married. Like,
yeah.
It's fine, kind of on my part.
Yeah.
I've met someone and he's basically going to come on the mortgage with me and we're going to buy my ex out. So that's fine. But he's currently going through divorce at the moment. They are just waiting for the financial consent order. And I think the actual other divorce bit has been settled. Could that be right or not?
What do you mean other divorce bits? We've got a divorce and we've got a financial order.
Yeah, so I think the actual divorce has kind of come through and that's all been
right.
signed.
Okay.
They're now just waiting for the financial order.
Right.
I think he sent it off about 6 weeks ago. They're just waiting for it to come back.
Yes, right. What's your question, Holly?
So basically, I just wondered, so I keep hearing about this clean break order as well. Is that something that they'd need? I'm just conscious that he's currently not living here, but I'm conscious that before he comes on the mortgage, etc., we need to have the financial order for him settled.
Yeah, so the clean break order is a type of financial order. Okay.
Right, okay, so it's not something that's different.
No. It's the same thing. It's just where we have a clean break, we don't have any assets to separate between the parties. We are literally severing financial ties. When we call it a financial order, it generally means there'll be a clean break in it, but it generally means that we've got a house or a pension or something else to separate between the parties. But once he's got his financial order, you're safe then. His ex won't be able to make a claim against your assets.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then even if it was the case, because my ex is kind of pushing for me to sell the house, which is, or buy him out the house, which is fine.
Yeah.
But if, for instance, we went ahead and then something went wrong, which I'm sure it won't, because hopefully, the courts are nearly there with it. But would a claim only be on his part rather than my 75%.
Correct. Yes, that's absolutely right. Because you and him aren't married, so he has no claim to your assets. So his ex-wife would only be able to make a claim to whatever portion of the house he holds.
Right. Okay, that's fine. Do you know how long roughly the consent orders are taking at the moment?
So it depends what court it is, but they're anywhere between 2 weeks and sort of 16 weeks. Like the southern, like the London courts are taking, up to 16 weeks at the moment. The northern courts tend to get them through a little bit quicker. So it depends what court he's in.
Yeah, it's, I'm not too... Are you sure? We're down in the south, so it's...
Might take a while.
Okay, no, that's really helpful. Lovely. I'm just really glad that I got the declaration of trust when I did my house, really.
Yeah, well done. And maybe think about doing it again.
Yeah, I will be.
Great. All right, thank you, Holly.
Okay, much.
Bye. Guys, we have come to the end of another hour of Family Law. I really hope that you all got something out of that. And for those of you watching, I hope that you enjoyed that as well. Wow, that was a lot of question and answers there. So I hope that you guys enjoyed that. And remember, if you have a question that perhaps you would like to ask me, leave it in the comments below. I do regularly check the comments, or if you want to drop me an email, that's fine too. The link is in my bio. And if you enjoyed that, don't forget to give me the thumbs up and subscribe and leave your comments below. See you soon.